welcome to The Ordinary Man, where we talk about normal things with normal guys in a world that we live in. Well, we're here on our next episode of The Ordinary Man, and in the small podcast studio this morning, I've got a good friend of mine, Grant Williams. Good morning, Grant.
What's up? How's it going?
Oh, it's very well over here. It's such a privilege to have you. It's a privilege to have anybody that comes through because I get to spend time with somebody else in here and hear more stories about what God is doing in the lives of us that are just kind of walking through our world. And there's so much that we all have to talk about because the different roads that God takes us on seems to be consistent with his plan, but it's always so interesting to get to hear from somebody else's perspective a little bit,
yeah,
how God moves their story or what is God is doing in their life. And I think kind of where the vision of this particular podcast came from was really just being able to share other people's stories, their testimonies, and have those relatable points to say, oh man, I heard what they said, and it's not about them or me or anybody that sits in this room. It's truly about God being center stage,
yeah,
and being able to hear some of the places and the spaces that God challenges us to go through. So thank you very much for being here and being willing to share.
Yeah.
One of the verses this week that has really stuck out, and we hear it a lot, but it really fell on my soul so much this particular week, came out of Revelations 12:11. And it says, and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Mm. And what really hit me on that, as I went through some a Freedom Bible study that we were teaching yesterday, and hearing so many guys come through with every variety of a testimony that you could particularly put in one place, yeah, was their stories all carry the same similar note that the world's hard. Like, the things that we have is hard. The decisions that we have to make are hard. But there's always a point of surrender that we can get to in our testimony. There's always that point that we'll see of surrender when we say, I can't do this. My human body can't do this. My human soul can't do this without you, God.
Yeah.
And I love to see the ping pong from that particular point in my life and in each one of these stories when God picks up the bar for us, when we finally let go of that. And he moves forward in greater ways and places than we could have ever gone ourselves. So, kind of in that opening, maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are, a background, some of your testimony, as big or as little as you want to go, just so we can kind of see where you've been, where you're coming from,
yeah,
and maybe where God's going with you now.
Yeah. So, once again, I'm Grant Williams, and my whole life, I was just thinking about this as you were talking, is my whole life has been kind of in one place for a long time, and that's been here in Enterprise, Alabama. You know, my parents have been in ministry forever. I mean, since before I was even a thought in their mind, I know that they were in ministry and they were doing it great. And and at 4 years old, we moved here to Enterprise, Alabama, and I grew up in church. I grew up in youth ministry. My dad was an incredible youth pastor. He has a way with, and he's old now, so he's passed on that baton. But growing up, I had a really fun community of youth around me. And but really, my mom had an impact on me growing up as a worship leader. And that somehow naturally, the way that the stars aligned, is I just followed in her footsteps. And she wouldn't admit it, but she probably trained me up to be in the worship ministry. And I've loved every minute of it. My mom, growing up, music has always been a part of my life. You know, I wasn't the kid that was in my room, you know, like singing in the shower. Well, okay, that's a lie. I was singing and I was playing instruments, you know, even when I was sick in bed, I can remember just playing my bass guitar in my bed or something like that. Just always trying to learn. But, so in my more recent years, I've been on staff at High Point Church for the past 7 years. I'm just going to kind of blow past the high school years. So my ministry, I would say, really started when I, in 2018-ish, that was when I'd been on the praise team here at High Point for quite some time. Since I was a kid, I was playing drums on our praise team. But around 2017, 2018 was when, it's a really funny thing, but there was a guy on our worship team that was dabbling in this computer software called Ableton. And it's very, very popular in worship today. But at the time, it was still kind of like, you know, not every church has caught on to it. I think I was really fortunate to kind of come in on it on like a really cool timing in my life. And he taught me how to use it, and I used like the free version for a couple of weeks, and then I got really invested in it. And then my parents saw that in me. I was spending way more time trying to integrate Ableton into our worship team than I was my schoolwork. And I definitely suffered in school because of that, but I wasn't upset with that. I was doing something I loved. And so after 1 year of college, my grades got really bad, lost my scholarship. And thank God I was already, my parents didn't hire me because I was out of college. I was actually hired on the team because of doing Ableton. I was doing something, and they say this, typically we'll hire you if you're doing something that like we couldn't afford you not doing it. If you're doing something that like we really need, like what I was doing, which it was a really cool situation. And so for the past 7 years, I've been on staff as a worship leader. For the longest time, they were like, what do we call you? What is your title? And it ended up being worship tech for a long time, but just helping my mom out and whatever she had. And then this past year, it was February 1st of 2024. They asked me to be the associate worship pastor. And that also entailed being over all the worship for the youth. That's kind of my story. I've been a pastor's kid my whole life. I've loved every minute of it. Being a pastor's kid, I don't care what everyone else says. They say pastor's kids are the worst. I feel like my brother and I have definitely been the, what's the word? We have not fit in that mold. I feel like we have set a good example for pastor's kids. I feel like we were pretty good kids, and my parents would probably say the same. We didn't cause them any trouble. Being in ministry my whole life, it's been awesome, and I would not change it for one thing. So
knowing a little bit about you, what are we, almost maybe 2 years married at this point, coming around? New baby, new-ish baby at this point. Uh-huh. So making a huge life transition over the last couple years from a single guy into a dating guy and then into a married man, mm-hmm. and then moving forward even further to being, a new dad.
Yeah.
All of those bring with them changes to life and maybe the time you can put to, I had a lot of extra time on my hands because I didn't have anything else, so I could really invest. And now God has given me these other blessings. And I truly mean that a spouse, yeah, a helpmate is a blessing beyond belief. Children are the ultimate blessing I think we can get, because we get to create between us something that we know only God can put in our lives. So, they're such special things, but they do divide our time some more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure I'm not the only one. I myself, I'm a married man, dad of three. So life has taken a lot of division in my own life because, you do have to prioritize things differently now.
Yeah.
How have things been as you've transitioned through worship or worship leader and ministry, but having kind of some of those family pieces that have now tied to you?
Oh, so yeah, definitely. I mean, for years, there was always that dynamic of my mom being the worship pastor and me being kind of below her, like whether it would be like in an assistant way, like an unspoken assistant, or like hey, let me know what I need to do. There was always that dynamic with my mom and I, and I'll be able to go into that later. But my dad being the pastor, my brother eventually becoming the youth pastor, but then getting married, that was like a huge like riff in the system, and I went from being at the church 24/7. I was a night owl. I was at Waffle House for breakfast, but not because I had just woken up to go to get breakfast because I hadn't gone to sleep yet. And so, you know, I was a young dude, and then I met Mary Beth, my awesome wife. And she was completely different. She was, you know, she had a bedtime. She got really good sleep. She was an athlete all through high school, and she's still an athlete now, but, you know, she was very disciplined. And so it was like two different worlds colliding. But I met her on our praise team. And so she joined the worship team. Her family started coming to church in 2020 when we were having outdoor services. Well, actually, they came before. I think they came in January of 2020. So I didn't meet her until kind of that summer. But she joined the praise team. We became friends. And we started dating that fall. And the beginning of 2021. And man, that changed everything really quick. You know, I started spending a lot more time with her and a lot less time with my dudes. And, you know, I know all the single dudes out there have different opinions on that. But I spent a lot of time with her. I mean, I knew pretty quickly that this was going to be my wife. God had made it so clear to me. And it was not like a possessive thing either. It was more of like, what am I going to do if I don't get to date her? Like, she, I don't want anything else but to date her. And she was just too much of an amazing person to miss out on. And so, yeah, we dated for a while. We walked through some really tough seasons. You know, we were serving in ministry together. And so we were all, everything was kind of right there. Everything was kind of, my life didn't go too far out. My whole life was in a couple of miles of each other. And it was church, work, which were the same thing for me, and my relationship with my girlfriend who lived right down the road from the church. And my whole life was in one place. And so it moved really quickly. You know, again, there were struggles. I struggled a lot in 2021 with jealousy, like some really crazy stuff. Like Mary Beth and I walked through some hard times just in our relationship. Just with me, like I was, there's some things that I never dealt with in my past that rose. When you find a woman that God gives you, God also is like, okay, dog, you gotta, you know, if I'm going to give you this amazing gift, you know, there's some things that you haven't dealt with yet that I really, really need you to trust me with. And so I walked through some fire on my own, and Mary Beth was right there, you know, with me the whole time. And, thank God for her. And, but yeah, so then got through all that. 2022, we got married, and then 2024, we had a baby. And, he's literally, every father, every mother would say this about their child, but I say this genuinely, he is the cutest thing on this entire earth. He is beautiful. He is, every week he's doing something new. But yeah, so it's been an awesome journey. It's gone by really quick, but it's got its really sweet moments for sure.
Well, it's kind of interesting how you describe your growth and maturity from just those stages of life, and then kind of seeing and then our children. It very much mirrors sometimes our walk with God, where we're very childlike at some point, and we need to be mm-hmm. kind of taken care of and fostered, and God has to kind of really yeah. wrap his hands around us and say, okay, I'm only going to give you this much right now because mm-hmm. you don't have your legs under you yet, you yeah. know, and you're still yeah. kind of crawling around. And then at some point we're at a full sprint and he's like, okay, yeah. not too fast yet. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But it's a joy just to get to see, and I get to see it because, guys, I'm looking at him. I get to see the whites of his eyes right now mm-hmm. and the sparkle that comes when he talks about these blessings of God. I feel like, you know, we got to do a little bit of pre-talk, just kind of going over some things that's, you know, Grant yeah. right now. I'd love to hear, you know, just what is God doing in your life right now? There's all of that testimony brings us to a point of present, you know, and our testimony should never yeah. stop. There's never yeah. an end point to the testimony because change comes and we yes. go. What is God dealing with you with right now? What kind of excitement or what kind of things has he got for you that he's really put on your heart and your mind?
Yeah. So, you know, getting married really shifted my perspective in a whole lot of ways. And not just because you're dealing with another person in your life and you have, you know, the two become one and like suddenly you're making decisions based off of your family, but also too, just the, I had someone actually just tell me this this past weekend that referring to a marriage, like when the two of you are in agreement, anything is possible. Like when a husband and wife are agreed upon one thing, like it's the possibilities are endless. And I knew what he was kind of meaning by that in the sense of like kind of just in the Bible, like where, you know, when it talks about, is it Amos? I could be completely off, but it's where, you know, how can two go in the same direction when they're not agreed or something like that. I can't remember how it goes, but, and of course that absolutely parallels marriage. And so when Mary Beth and I got married, once again, whole life was here, right in Enterprise. Even after a year of being married, our lives were still within those couple of miles of each other. But even before I got married, I felt this urge. I'll start with this. So in 2017, I graduated high school, and I'll make this kind of brief, but this is also kind of the foundation of everything God's doing right now. It is so cool to see a timeline that's really long, like a really slow story. But in 2017, our church went to Elevation Church for a conference. And, you know, I was like pretty new to leading worship. I was, you know, kind of like what we talked about earlier, about the Ableton stuff. That's where I really discovered the like Ableton being used in church. We went to that conference in 2017, and I can remember coming home just completely like amped up. I was like on a spiritual high, but also too, I was like I was trying to figure out how to go to college in North Carolina, or I can't remember it. I think it's in North Carolina. South Carolina, I don't remember, wherever Elevation's at, one of the Carolinas. And I was like, I'm going to try and figure out how to go to college there. I would love to go to their church. I want to go, you know, be a part of their worship team, whatever like that, you know, at 17 years old. And I came home, I flipped open my Bible, playing the Bible roulette as every, you know, young kid does. And I was like, God, just speak something new to me. Like we had just gotten home. And I opened up to, since this is being recorded, I want to actually make sure I get this right, because I always forget if it's chapter one or chapter two, but it's Acts chapter one or two. And it's when Jesus, he's about to leave, and he charges the disciples with, I won't try and find it right now and waste time. But anyways, y'all will know what I'm talking about. You will for sure. But when he says like, look, I want you guys to go off to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's going to happen. But first, you've got to do your mission here in Jerusalem. And he says, until I've given you the gift that I've promised, that the Father has promised you, you are to do your work here first in Jerusalem. And then you will go to Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And that just smacked me right in the face. Like Jerusalem was Enterprise to me. And I just knew right then and there. And thank God that at 17 years old, like that hit me right there. The Holy Spirit just told me right then and there, like, Grant, until I've given you what you've been promised or what God has promised you. And really at the time, I didn't even really see it as, okay, God's going to give me something to go out. It was more just what I saw more in that moment was that you are not supposed to go anywhere yet. You're supposed to stay here in Enterprise. And maybe that gift was just all the experience and all the life that I got to live in these past, 8 years. And so I held on to that really, really firmly. And so I left that and I was like, okay, you know, I'm not supposed to move away from Enterprise. I'm not going to college anywhere. I'm staying here. And so I clung to that for many years. And fast forward to, and keep in mind, you know, I always had this desire to step out and this desire to go somewhere new, to go somewhere fresh. You know, Judea, Samaria were always on my mind, but Enterprise is still the mission. So fast forward to 2022, Mary Beth and I are engaged. This is September. A lot of life has been lived. A lot of, ministry has taken place. Mary Beth and I have walked through a lot. My family and I have walked through a lot. You know, keep in mind, my mom was my worship pastor. And very briefly, I'll say that, you know, everyone says that being in ministry with your family is extremely difficult. And I can stand here today to 100% agree with that. Being in ministry with your family is difficult. And it's not because you don't love your family. It's because you love them so much. And working with them is difficult. Working with anyone is difficult. But when it's your family, you can't, you know, in a normal situation where you can disagree with someone at your workplace, or you can, you know, not be on the same page as someone at your workplace, but then you have to go home with them. And, you know, for example, this is my mother, and, you know, I love my mom so deeply. Like, there's so many things that I wouldn't be able to do, or so many things that I give her credit for, next to God, you know, just because she has been there for me in so many situations. But then to work with them, it's difficult, especially when you come of age and you're developing your own opinions, you're developing your own like view on things. And so 2022, from 2017 to 2022, a lot had happened. And and so 2022, at that point in my life, I was at a position where I was, and I'm sorry that I'm, you know, you said, what is God doing through you right now? I feel like I really want to set up the story because it's just so cool. But, let's see. So 2022, you know, Mary Beth and I were in a place where like, we were like, again, we're about to get married. It was September. We were getting married in November, and we were of course ready to go anywhere God had called us. You know, we were excited about being married. We were excited to see what God could possibly do. A lady in our church, or there was a couple in our church at the time, and they had a friend. This was like a, you know, well-known couple in our church. They were a little bit older, very well respected, and they had a friend come from out of town just to visit them that Sunday. She was from Oklahoma, and the lady, she went to Bible college with the wife of the couple in our church, and so they went to school together. Long life friends and or lifelong friends. And I was leading worship that Sunday, and I guess during worship, she leaned over to her friend, the visitor did, and she said, "Hey, who is this guy?" And there was like, "Oh, that's Grant Williams." She was like, "I've got a word for him. I need to share something with him." And so I get off stage, you know, I'm coming through the office to go to the sanctuary or to the lobby, and the lady steps in there, the wife of the couple, with her friend. She's like, "Hey, we have a friend from out of town. And I just want to, you know, tell you, like, you know, we don't want to freak you out, but this friend of ours, super awesome lady, she has a word for you, and she wants to share this with you. Would you be willing to step away somewhere real quick just to let her talk to you?" I was like, "Absolutely, yeah." And Mary Beth was with me, and, you know, we stepped into an office. It was me, Mary Beth, and, you know, the lady and her friend. And again, she didn't know anything about me. She didn't know that Mary Beth was my soon to be wife. And she just was like, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I was watching you lead worship, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that there is a call on your life, and there's a word that the Holy Spirit wants me to share with you." And so she just started just prophesying over me, and basically told me that the Lord was about to open a door, and I'll spare the details, but she said that the Lord was about to open a door. It was a ministry opportunity, and it was about to and she just was saying that the Lord has been preparing me, and that the Lord was about to call me out from my home, basically, into a new season of life. And Mary Beth got it all in recording, which is so cool, because we can always go back and look at it and or listen to it. And so she, in short, she basically just, you know, said, like, "God's about to move you. God's about to do something new for you. And God's about to call you, you know, out into his protection. And he's about to open a ministry door for you. And it's very important that you take it." And that was like, really like, whoa, okay. So we left. And again, that was the short version. We left that, and that was in September. And then in October, she follows up with us, which I've not had people prophesy over me, but I would say in the church world, it's not typical that you have a follow-up prophecy, a part two, if you will. And so this lady contacts us through her friend, through our friend. And she's like, "Hey, the Lord, like, basically was wanting me to give you a little bit more details on this." And it's so weird, and I'll get to this in a minute, but, and I hope I'm not taking too long. I really don't want to just make this boring and long, but, So the part two starts off, she just says, like, this was literally the first word she wrote down was, seven is the number of completion and release. We're like, okay, cool. And then the rest of the thing that she wrote was just I'm losing my train of thought. The rest of it was following up with what you said. She was like, there's a ministry door that's about to open. I'm sensing in 3 months. And it was at the time it was October. And she was like, it's going to be probably around January. And she was like, it's going to be a door that opens that you like, basically you do not want to miss out on. She's like, the words that she said was, any hesitancy is going to cost you more than you can afford. And it wasn't scary. It wasn't like, we got to do this really quickly. Like, and she even said, she was like, look, any of these things that I'm saying to you, like, I feel led by the Holy Spirit to tell you, but if it doesn't resonate with you, really take it to the Lord and pray about it. She was like, because I'm trying to be obedient. And she was like, so if this doesn't resonate with you, if it doesn't feel right in your spirit, then write it off completely. She was like, this is between you and the Lord. And that's honestly really comforting, hearing from someone who's wanting to speak a word of prophecy over you, because like to be able to say like humbly like that, hey, I'm just being obedient. This may be completely off. And so we prayed about it. We were like, at the time we were not sure if we needed to buy a house. We weren't sure if we needed to rent, just to be kind of keep our hands open. My parents even, like, we hadn't shared this with my parents. We hadn't shared it with anyone. Like, my parents kept saying, when are y'all going to buy a house? When are you going to buy a house? And I think they were at the same time, they were like, you just got married. We're like, they're asking, when are you going to buy a house? Because they're probably thinking like, oh, they're about to move. They're about to move. We don't want our kids to move away.
Right. Right.
And so they were asking, so why haven't you bought a house yet? And we're like, oh, we're thinking about maybe renting. And so anyways, all that to say, I was praying myself. I was like, Lord, if you're about to open a door for us somewhere away, like, you've got to drop this in my lap. Like, I'm not going to go seeking this out. And literally in December, some friends of ours just randomly send us this job application for a church that many people know. And I just saw it, and they sent it to us. It was a worship leader position. And I was just like, okay, Lord, is this it? And I looked, it was a city I did not want to go to. It was in an area, a state that I didn't really want to go to, but I was wanting to be obedient. So I applied for the job, and, really weird. Like, I was just, again, like, I was really happy with where we were at, but I was trying to be obedient to the Lord, and I applied for the job. And so here we are, we apply, we hear back. And this was in January that this happened. So we were like, oh, this is right on with the prophecy. And end of January, they contact me back and they say, hey, sorry, we've already fulfilled the position. And so it wasn't even crushing to us. Like, we weren't even upset. We were just really like, okay, God, hey, we stepped out in faith. We were trying to be obedient. And so nothing really happened. We went about our life. That was the spring of 2023. So, we were like, okay, Lord, we were obedient. Nothing happened. Maybe we missed out on something. Maybe the lady, maybe she was off. We don't know. And so we planted some roots. We bought a house in April, and with the help of Chrissy, we're very thankful for her. So anyways, we bought a house. and I know that you said you'll be able to cut this or whatever. So if you think I'm just completely taking too long, but, so anyways, set roots, 2023, still a really hard year. There were still some things that Mary Beth and I had to walk through, and I'm 100% honesty here. Like, a lot of my tension in life, like, and again, because my life was in such a small area, Mary Beth and I were great. Everything was going great with our lives and everything like that. But, getting married was really hard on my family. It was hard on my mom and I. My mom and I have always had a really tight-knit relationship and had always had a really great mother-son relationship. Tons of love for my mom. She had tons of love for me. And even from being hired back in 2018, if my mom and I argued or had any rough spots in life about anything, it was never to do with her being my mom. It was always her having to be my worship leader, my boss. And man, I had some awful years of just being you know, disrespectful, little naive, little, you know, worship leader in my youth. I was, you know, there was many years where I was just disrespectful to my mom, and, you know, just I completely dishonored her leadership, and there was situations, and it wasn't like awful, but enough to be like, just, I was dishonoring my mother, and as my worship leader, as my mother, as my authority. And I had a very, very strong sense of direction that I, like, you know, I would challenge her, and I would, you know, just bottom line, just didn't respect her as my leader. And really what it was is I was treating her like my mom. I didn't separate the, she's my worship pastor, and I need to treat her like my worship pastor would, or like anyone would treat their worship pastor. I was treating her like my mom. And so I would say things that not everybody else on the team could say. And it was just really weird. And we had to walk through that. And I had to do a lot of maturing, had to do a lot of growing up, and learn a lot of lessons. But once again, fast forward to 2023, and there's still tension. There's still tension just between my mom and I, because now I'm married, and now I'm, you know, I've got a family, and they don't see me as often. I'm leaving rehearsals, you know, as soon as they're over, because I'm wanting to get home and go to sleep, and I want to go home and see my wife, or
that's right, yeah,
because I'm going to bed earlier than I used to, and things like that. And so, you know, it was a hard year just because of, you know, my mom and I's relationship, because now all my attention was on my relationship with my wife.
It's that rebranding of your life order. You, yeah, know what I mean?
Having absolutely.
That you know, not to take the conversation too far, but that leave and cleave, you know, you're doing that. You know what I mean? Yeah. God's given you this thing. You're moving that direction. So yeah, completely understandable.
Yeah. And my mom, she had a hard time with the leave and cleave idea. And I don't think that's because she doesn't read her Bible and see that scripture in there. I think it's because, and heck, mom, if you're listening to this, I'd, you know, I want you to hear this, is that I think that if I just had to guess, it's because there was some unfinished business when I left and cleft, however you say that, you know, there was still some, you know, the Bible clearly states that like it talks about conflict and how to handle it, and that to handle it swiftly. And I think that, you know, even at a young age, I didn't really understand that yet. Even at 22 years old, I didn't understand that. I thought that, you know, things would just get better with time or whatever like that. But like, and I don't blame myself even for not knowing that at the time. But even my mom, like, I think she had a hard time with me leaving and cleaving, because there was still like some brokenness in our relationship as a mother and son. And, you know, again, this is a public thing, but like there, even our wedding day was hard for my mom and I, because there was still some division. And, you know, we've talked through a lot of that even recently, but just, it was hard for my mom. She felt like that there was some, maybe I'm just guessing that she felt like that I was just leaving, and which rightly so, I was getting married to the love of my life and a gift from God. But at the same time too, there was a relationship that was still broken. There was a relationship that was still, not healed. And so I think that was why there was such a hard time even after the marriage. And so 2023 was hard, but keep in mind, we had totally the prophecy that lady spoke over us was, you know, still just kind of in the background, didn't think of it anymore. So we got through 2023. It was a great year. Mary Beth and I, we had an awesome time in 2023. And then, you know, beginning of 2024, just some, like things with my family that were happening, just like, I mean, anybody who has heard my dad preach in this past year, they know that it's been a really hard year for my parents. 2024 was just a really difficult year for them. And I don't have to go into the details of that, but just a lot of attacks from the enemy, like left and right, attacks from the enemy left and right. And
you got to see that from a place in retrospect of knowing where you're at in God's plan. And understanding that the closer I get to his spirit, the closer I get to his path, the more Satan just, that comes, yes, from every angle. And it's like there's that balance of I rejoice in the suffering, no different mm-hmm. than Paul did in the prison. Like, hey, I am in chains here. I'm writing you from a prison cell, but blessed be God because I'm doing his work. I'm following it. It doesn't make the suffering any easier. So
absolutely. Yeah. So there was a lot of suffering in 2024. There was situations that arose and I had to be like in a situation where I had to be there for my family. Absolutely. But it was like, you know, there's situations where like, you don't even know where to draw the boundary. Like as a son, you don't even know where to draw the boundary of like, you know, and not like, oh, my parents are suffering, I have to draw a line of how I'm supposed to be there for them. Not at all. But like, it was just one of those things where like, I was so uninvolved in their life at the time, just because, you know, I was married and my wife was pregnant and we were planning our life and they were walking through things. And I was there for my dad a lot. I can remember just being there, like long car rides with my dad, just talking to him and just, you know, trying to just be an ear. Like, I'm not a counselor for my dad. I'm not a, you know, pastor for my dad, but I am a son and I know him just as well as I know anyone else would know him, just trying to be there for him. And 2024 was a year where I think God really challenged me in a way that's like, okay, Grant, are you like, you know, that there's still a little bit of distance between you and your parents. And, how are you going to handle that? And I, you know, and just again, being raw and honest, like part of me was like, you know, I feel like that part of me was like, oh, there's distance because I'm married and I'm not around them anymore. And, but then at the same time too, I think that one lesson that I've learned this past year more than anything is just like family, you're always going to have your family. You're always, someone just told me this recently that everything else is noise in a relational lifestyle. Everything else is noise. Everyone else you meet is noise. They'll come and go, but your family will always be there. And not even just that, but the Bible is so clear in my position as a son that you always just honor your mother and father so that your days will be long and not, you know, God wasn't wanting me to do anything because he's like, hey, Grant, do you want to live a long life? It wasn't even because of that. It's just because God wants us to live an abundant life. If I'm going to live a long life, I know God wants it to be abundant and people that I spend the most time with. I mean, because the biggest dynamic here is that I also work with my parents. It wasn't just like, oh, you visit your parents, you know, like they live 30 minutes away or whatever like that. Like I see my mom every single day. I work with her. My dad, I see my dad every single day. I work with him. And so that was probably the biggest part of the dynamic was just being in ministry with your parents. And so 2024 was a year where we just, you know, there was a lot of conversations and the biggest dynamic in 2024 was having a kid. And, you know, you still have this little bit of brokenness, a little bit of division in your family. And then you add a kid to the mix, you add a grandbaby to the mix. And that adds a whole other dynamic. And I think with just this whole year, understanding like how do you manage a relationship that's broken, but at the same time, like you want, like they're grandparents to the most beautiful little kid on this earth. And I think what was happening was like, again, God, you know, was challenging our families, not just me, not just Mary Beth, but even my parents, like, how are we going to navigate this? And, you know, there were situations, Mary Beth and I, and this was not even like we were, when Jesse was born, my son, you know, Mary Beth was really adamant. Like she didn't want anyone there. Like, you know, Mary Beth's like, this is a big deal for her. She didn't want anyone there. And even like, not just while Jesse was being born, but even like that whole evening. And that was hard for my parents. That was, you know, they wanted to be there and it wasn't hard for them because they just didn't like that decision. It was because they wanted to be there for us. And I feel like that they, you know, my parents have always known I've been a really independent person and they've seen that as a really good thing, but they've also seen it as like, oh, I think they can take that sometimes as, oh, Grant doesn't need us. And
well, ironically enough, not to hijack the story, but in that same token, Christy and I went through something very similar with childbirth, to where we were very adamant about, listen, this is us. We mm-hmm. would like this just to be us. Give us this little bit of time to be mom and dad here. We'll be glad to have you in shortly thereafter, mm-hmm. you know, but so just know there's probably more people. I'm one sitting in front of you that did that exact same thing.
Yeah.
So it's always funny to hear some similarities in the threads of how we construct, you know, the blessings that God gives us, and how when we share, when we don't share, and finding that balance between, is this selfish or is this really, you know, honoring the relationship that God's given us. And it sounds like so much of that built up though to something that's really got you here today.
Yes.
There's some stuff where this is all going, and it's very targeted. Mm-hmm. And there's some pretty important things that you have it's like right now, things that are happening presently that's for you. And I can't wait to hear about what that is right now, you know, the now things.
Yeah. So that was, you know, the whole family dynamic. Fast forward to September, and, you know, my family and I, we were just like really needing to just talk about everything. I think there were some things and like very, very real things that we just needed to sit down as a family. And like, you know, we had family meetings as kids. Like, I can remember having a family meeting as a kid and me sitting there crying because I'm like, Mommy, I want to dress myself for school. I'm tired of me picking out my clothes. Like, there's those kind of family meetings. And then here's a 25-year-old, you have a family meeting. And it was just us like, hey, we just want to talk about things. We want to like reconnect. We want to like, Mom, Dad, is there anything that, you know, that we've done like to offend you guys? Has there been anything that we've done that like y'all really need to share with us? Like things that we need to just like, let's just be open and real with each other, or vice versa. Like, Mom, Dad, like there's been some things that we need to talk about, like on our end that maybe has offended us, and just really like give ourselves the opportunity to like have the freedom to just be a family. And because you're always going to have tension as a family. So that September, we sat down as a family and just had a conversation, and man, when you give like the opportunity, because what happens is when you don't talk, the enemy talks. When you don't talk, the enemy will fill your mind with all these thoughts and all these lies. And that's exactly what happened. Was my family, you know, we got really good at not sharing things with each other, and we would see each other a lot, but we got really good at not sharing. Like, my family, my mom and dad would, like, there would be offenses that they were having that they wouldn't share with us, and vice versa. There was offenses that Mary Beth and I had that we weren't sharing with my parents. And I think it was just because we were all a little worried, I guess, like, because that hasn't happened, where we just sat down one night and talked. And so we talked. It was a great conversation. It was like we could breathe. And we left that night just so light. And my parents left that night feeling so like there was a, you know, and not that that one conversation solved all of our, you know, issues as a family, but just, but I mean, because people think like, my dad's a pastor, my mom's a worship pastor, I'm an associate worship pastor, my brother's a, you know, youth pastor. They think that, and my dad will be the first to say like we're a family too. We have issues, you know, and we walk through things as a family. And so that night was a catalyst for what God is doing today. That night, this is the craziest thing, is all those years of me feeling like there was a Judea Samaria. That night I realized why God had kept me in Jerusalem and why God had kept me in Enterprise. And it was because I feel like we left that night, we got in the car, and I looked at Mary Beth and I said, Mary Beth, I feel like I know why now we've been here for this long time. And it was because there was this brokenness in my relationship with my parents for so long that was healed that night, but it was discussed. And I felt the Lord tell me that night, like, Grant, I'm releasing you now. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? Like, that was the overwhelming feeling and the word that I felt from the Lord that night was like, I'm releasing you now. Now you are now like almost kind of like, you know, you have a dog and they really, really want to run. And finally the owner's just like, okay, go. And like, that was that feeling that I had. And I prayed about it. I was like, Lord, what, why now? And he was like, well, for so many years, you know, y'all's family, you know, have just, y'all have been a family. Y'all have been a working family, but now y'all are about to take another step in your walk as a family. And I think he was dealing with some, maybe some pride in my heart, maybe some lack of what's the word? He just really told me that night, like, Grant, you needed to deal with your home. You needed to deal with Jerusalem before you go and out into Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And it's like, now that you've taken that step of like mending a brokenness in your family, now you can be sent out. And that was like, whoa, all these times that I felt a desire to go somewhere, a desire to step out into a different phase of life. And it's never felt like the right timing, because there was more than one opportunity that I had to go be a worship leader somewhere else. And it never felt right. It never felt like, and I never even fought God on it. Like, I just like, oh, that's a cool opportunity, but that's not right. This is not the Lord. And this, so that night I prayed and I went home. We Mary Beth and I spent like a week of fasting from that one feeling of, okay, release. What was the feeling of that? So, over these past couple of years, Mary Beth and I felt led to three different places. It was Orlando, Savannah, Georgia, and Birmingham. And we weren't really sure, like, those are just places, very, very, like, just, oh, those are cool places. You know, there's an opportunity in Savannah that we maybe could possibly, God could possibly call us there for a reason. There was a place in Orlando that I'd felt really led to, and very short-lived. But that night, that whole week of praying, we narrowed it down to one church, and it was Church of the Highlands in Birmingham. And there was, you know, I could name a long list of reasons why I feel like that maybe why the Lord has led us there. And, you know, I think, you know, just a couple of just, we have a lot of equity in that church. I mean, my parents, you know, High Point was their model was kind of based off of Church of the Highlands. Like, I can remember taking a bus, my parents taking our launch team to their church back in 2008, just to go see how they do church. And that was, so that night, you know, after that week of praying and fasting, I was like, okay, Lord, you know, I've always loved, we've been going to their conferences. We take our youth students to their Emotion conference every year. We take our, we take our staff to their art conference, to their grow conference. Like, we're always like, our whole staff is super familiar with the Church of the Highlands DNA. And I have tons of friends up there. I've got tons of friends spread out in Alabama that are at their different campuses. Like, me personally, I'm familiar with just them in general. And I've always loved the church. You know, I've had many conversations just on like how they do things. I've called some of their worship staff, just learning how they do things, whatever. But never really thought about like going there, never thought about being a part of Church of the Highlands. And so anyways, week later, I just was curious. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go look on their application. Like, they have at the very bottom of their website, it's like employment. Clicked it, and they had a position for a campus worship director open. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to take a leap of faith here. This is where I feel like you're leading me. I'm going to take a leap of faith. So this was September. That was like a week after that conversation with my family. And it was, I mean, I've only applied for one job, you know? So my resume was very slim. And a lot's happened since I made that resume. So I had to create a resume. It took me like a week to like make my resume look presentable, and just trying to think of all the things that I've done, all the trainings that I had and everything like that. So made my resume, sent my application, you know, moving on down the road, I ended up getting an interview. with one of their staff, and then moving on down the road, November, I get another interview with one of their worship staff. Then it turns out that there was two campuses that I was going to basically kind of get a shot at. It was one in Birmingham, one of their campuses up in Birmingham. And then there was one in Troy, Alabama. So I'm like, oh, it's in Troy. You know, I've heard about the campus. You know, we live 45 minutes away. So, you know, we know that there's a campus there. We've heard about it. And even people that we know who've gone to that campus, people that like I'm friends with. And so, you know, I got an interview in December with the Troy campus pastor, and it was awesome. It was supposed to be a 30 minute, you know, like video call interview. It ended up being an hour and 10 minutes, and it was awesome. We had such a great time just talking, and you know, he asked me a lot of questions about me, just about my you know, ministry, my relationship with the church, everything like that, and just how everything's gone. So again, moving forward, we ended up going up to, it was, I heard back in the beginning of January that they had fulfilled the Birmingham campus pretty quickly. They had a staff member there that they just moved into that position pretty quick. They, what they call an inside hire, whatever. And they were like, but the Troy campus pastor would love to have you guys up to there to, you know, come to one of their services and basically just come and visit the services. They would, and then they want to eat lunch with you guys afterwards. So they invited me, Mary Beth, and Jesse up there. And so it was mid-January. We came, it was right before the whole snowstorm thing happened. We went up to Troy. We visited their campus, and one of the guys from Birmingham, he's one of their worship staff. He's the one that's kind of like walked me through this whole process from October until now. His name is Zach, and he came down to Troy to kind of visit with us and to just kind of like show me around the campus and everything. So, you know, the campus pastor wasn't distracted. And so it was awesome. We the whole way up there, we had been praying about Troy. We had felt really, really good about Troy. We felt like, you know, we were like, it is kind of weird. It's really close to home, but you know, we had felt really a lot of peace about it. We were like, you know, Lord, you've brought us here. So we definitely feel peace about it. There's not even a thought of saying no to this. So we went up to the campus. It was awesome. Their campus is doing really, really good. Even Zach, the guy from Highlands, or from Birmingham, he was like, dude, to see, cause their campus has not had live worship in over a year. They've been without a worship director for over a year. And so, they, you know, came and, what was it? I'm sorry, I'm getting really distracted right now, but, we had a great Sunday. It was really good just talking to them. And, Zach, we went to coffee with Zach during the second service because, you know, he was just like, you know, during the service, you don't have to go to the service again. But I'm going to go to coffee with you guys. And if like, I'm sorry, I'm going to pause real quick. I'm starting to feel like, I don't know. I'm starting to feel like that this is, and you tell me what you think, but I'm starting to feel like that this is going in a direction that's like, it's like information and it's cool. But like at the same time, I'm like not sure how effective this will be. Does that make sense?
Well, no, I think it's going to be very effective because there's somebody out there that is sitting on the same bubble that you are. There's somebody out there that is like, hey, God, I've got something that is I've prayed for. You know, mm-hmm. I'm here with my family. I feel like this is right. But sometimes we struggle to see, am I following your plan because it's all fitting together in a beautiful picture? Yeah. Or am I wanting this so much that I'm developing my plan? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I could see it in your story. I'm getting to see some of your facial cues. And as you're recounting these facts, yeah. It's like you're balancing this. Am I hearing God speaking? Because these things are all lining up so perfectly.
Yeah.
Or are they lining up so perfectly because I want it?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And that for those of us, especially men, as we lead our families, as we take new jobs, and I promise you, I had a very similar experience with a new job that I just took this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was the exact same process. You know, I've been praying for 2 years for God to put the right thing in my life. And I've been walking a very hard road in the job that I was in that just, it was doing functionally what it should do, but it was not pleasing to me or my family.
Yeah.
And so when I had a random opportunity that opened up that seemed too good to be true, I began to question, do I say yes to this because I've been praying for it and God finally heard and answered, or is something sprouted up and this is just a detour? And if I if I say yes, is this going to take me on path? So it sounds like you were kind of at that juncture though, that this is informational, absolutely, but this is encapsulating the mind. This is the same thought process that every man goes through as they transition, you know? Yeah. And so I imagine you're sitting there at that juncture. And again, I don't know the end of the story, and I mean that sincerely, but I imagine you're sitting at this juncture and you're like, hey, I have to say yes or no.
Yeah.
And God, tell me if I say yes or no. And sometimes in that yes or no, and tell me if I'm wrong here, it almost seems the quietest. It's like you were really loud to get me up to this point. You spoke to me heavy, and now I just need you to put the gavel down. Yes, yes, this is me. But it's like now he arrests you.
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm leaving out probably the most important chunk, and that was 21 days of prayer. Man, I'm so glad that you brought that up because this to me is probably the most encouraging part of the story. So 21 days of prayer comes along, and of course, this was my focus. This job, this position was my focus. And I really, really, 21 days of prayer started, and I can remember just asking God, because at this point, I think, so we started on a Sunday evening, and that Monday was, at that point, where I was at with this opportunity was, I had the interview with the campus pastor in Troy, but that was it. I hadn't heard anything back. I mean, and they're in Christmas. They're, you know, Highlands, you know, they're very busy at Christmas time, just like every other church and anyone in their entire life, super busy at Christmas. So I didn't expect to hear back until January anyways. but so 21 days of prayer was really that opportunity for me to pray exactly what you were just talking about. Lord, am I making this happen? Or because I've been in my church for so long. And I think one of the things that I have struggled with was over the years with all the tension with my mom, all the just the desire to want to go somewhere else at some point, like I've seen so many people my age, especially, like as soon as things get a little bit difficult, they go. They say, God's calling me to another church, another opportunity. God's moving me to another church. I've seen it happen with people I know personally where things get difficult, and I want to be careful that I say people I know personally, but people I've seen who things have gotten difficult. So instead of like really trying to work things out, they just go.
Yeah. It's kind of the way of the world right now. It's like the path of least resistance is just, I avoid conflict and I move another direction. Yes. And sometimes God calls us to deal with where we are because it will follow you. Well, you know what I mean?
It'd be probably a lot easier if I was at a church that my family wasn't at. But because it was my family, I was like, no. I was like, I do not want to take the easy way out. I was like, this is my family. If because a lot of some of the times that I was like really wanting to leave, it was because of a conflict with my mom, like on the worship team. If it was like just a situation that like my mom and I were completely at odds or something like that. And I was just like, it's my flesh was just like, I just don't want to deal with this. And then I would be like, you know what though? Like, why am I trying to run away from this? Like, why don't we try and like figure out a solution? And so 21 days of prayer was really that opportunity for me to like, it was kind of like my last, like, okay, God, you know, so again, we started 21 day prayer on that Monday. Hadn't heard back from anyone. I just had an interview with the campus pastor, and I sent an email to, you know, Zach, the guy that was doing all the interviews, and he was kind of like my go-to guy. Like, I was able to ask him any questions that I needed to ask. And I just emailed him, and I was just like, hey, man, I was just wanting to hear back. You know, I know you guys had a pretty busy month. And I was like, I just want to know kind of where we're at in the process. And I think I sent that email on Monday, and I didn't get a response until like 2 days later. And so for those 2 days, I was like really praying. I was like, Lord, like, you know, this is where you're going to tell me, like, you know, this is just kind of a, another an opportunity for you to just be obedient, but it's not yet or whatever. And so I was praying, and so then again, you know, we're praying through 21 days of prayer, and I should have brought my journal with me, because I am not a journaler by any means, and I don't say that proudly either. Like, I really, it's something I want to do. I'm just not, you know, diligent enough in that area to do it every single day. But in 21 days of prayer, I did, because there was so much that God was speaking. And I could remember the first week, just little things. Like, I was struggling with doubt. I was struggling with, like, well, like you said, is this too good to be true? And I could remember it was that Monday. In the midst of all this, Mary Beth and I's water heater had just gone out. And, you know, we had to figure out, you know, what we were going to do with that. And Mary Beth's family was generous enough to kind of spot us, you know, for that week. They went and bought us a water heater, and, you know, we installed it ourselves. And so that day, that was on a month. No. I think it was a Tuesday is when I heard back from them, because we were installing it that Tuesday night. And so I hear back that afternoon that was when he emailed me and was like, "Hey, Pastor Coleman from the Troy campus would love for you and your family to come up and visit their campus." And so that was like super encouraging to me. I was like, "Oh my gosh, okay, so we're moving forward, you know, and we're really excited about this." And so that night, you know, we're excited. I'm there with my mother-in-law and Mary Beth, and we're installing the water heater or whatever like that. And I'm like just in such a good mood. And I was going back and forth to Lowe's, just getting some supplies and things like that. And while I had some time to myself, I was just like praising God. I was like, "God, thank you so much for this opportunity." I was like, "I know nothing's official." I was like, "They're just wanting us to come up there and view their campus." I was like, "But thank you." I was like, "This is such a good thing." And I was like, and I was just praising God. And then like a couple minutes later, I just get this like feeling of like, "But what if this isn't it?" I was just like, "Okay." I was like, "You know what, Lord, you've been speaking to me pretty clearly. So if this isn't it, like, I know that you're going to let me know. I know that you're going to make it really clear." And it was so funny. The next morning, Mary Beth was reading. She's been reading this book. It's like Prayers for Your Husband or whatever. And the next morning, it was something. I could pull it up on my phone. It was something in Corinthians, I think. And it was just a prayer for your husband. It was talking about his job. And it was just like, "Lord, you know," she was like, "Grant, just this is crazy." And she sent it to me. That was the next morning. And I didn't even tell her what I was feeling that night. And she was like, "Look what I'm reading right now." And it was like the prayer for her husband that morning was, it was like, that was in the book, was talking about the husband's job. And it was like, "Lord, if my husband, you know, in his job, like, I pray that you would just help him to be diligent in his work, whatever, like help him to be seen and all this stuff, like help him to like have a passion for his job." And then it was like, "But if for any reason my husband is desiring a new job, I pray that you would just give him peace about it, and that you would let him know that the Lord is leading him." And I was like, "Whoa, that's crazy." I was like, "Did you just read that the next morning?" And I mean, I know that, like, yeah, people could call that a coincidence, but
no.
That I don't see that as a coincidence. I think that God clearly spoke to me that morning that, and again, there's probably some other things that I'm missing, but I know the biggest thing that was the craziest. This is the second week of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I'm just journaling. I'm sitting there journaling at our dining room table, and Mary Beth's sitting there, and she goes, "Grant," because, you know, this is January, and we had joked around, like, you know, with that prophecy that lady spoke over us. She was like, every January would come around, and we're like, maybe it's this January or something right, like that. When she was talking about a January, it was like, maybe it wasn't that one, it's this one. So we're joking around. She was like, "Hey, maybe we should pull that prophecy back up and just read it again, just to make sure that we didn't miss anything." I was like, "Okay." So I'm journaling, and she's reading the prophecy, and she just looks up at me. She starts crying. I'm like, "What? What's going on?" She's like, "Grant," she was like, "okay, the second part that she wrote, 7 is the number of completion and release." And we never even really knew what that part meant. I mean, yeah, 7's a significant number in the Bible. But we were just like, "Okay, cool." But she read that, and I was like, "What? What's the big deal about it?" She was like, "Grant, February will be 7 years of you working at High Point. February will be your 7th year on the dot of you working at High Point Church." And I was just like, "Whoa.
Wow.
And this month, February, was last week was when I officially got the job offer. That's when they made it completely official, was this month. I start in March, but that was crazy. That was in January. And like this lady, like, and we planned to, heck, I may even send her this episode or something like that. But we've been planning to tell this lady, like, hey, 3 years later, this is what God did. So it wasn't in vain or whatever.
Let me bring it back just a second, because it sounds like you went real fast over a huge bubble right there.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like everything that you had been praying about, not necessarily for, but praying about, mm-hmm. God completely opened up the answer to that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that answer was that the Grant Williams family is making a new life transition,
yeah,
to something bigger in God's kingdom and a new adventure that you don't even know how it's going to unfold yet, but it sounds like that new job, did I hear it right? Yeah, that's now on the path for you guys?
Yeah. So we, 21 days of prayer, we got done with that, and we were just like thanking God. Like by the last week, there was no more praying. It was just praising. It was like we were just thanking God for everything, because we went and visited them during 21 days of prayer. It was January 19th, and we came back. That whole visit was incredible. We sat at their house, the campus pastors. We got to sit at their house for, 3.5-4 hours, just talking to them about their vision for the campus, their vision for Troy, and even at coffee. Like, this was another big clarity for me because there that Sunday, I was like, we felt pretty confident about it, but it's like the Lord just kept putting a cherry on top. Just like we were sitting at coffee, and that guy, Zach, was just like, hey, we were just chatting, getting to know each other a little bit more. And he just like out of the blue was just like, hey, I just want to tell you, like, we had 36 people apply for this job, and you were our top pick. And through the whole process, and I don't know, like, saying that publicly, like, I don't want that to come across as arrogant at all. Like, I didn't know that. And that was just like, what in the world? I was like, so God, like, from October, he said, from the time you applied to now, like, you've been the top pick this entire time. He said, we've been like really, really excited about you. And he was like, and even to the, like basically we, so that all happened, and he was just like this friend of mine that I just, officially got to meet in person, was just telling me just like just how excited he was and how excited they were to have me on their team, and how they truly felt like that God is like this was a God move for them.
Absolutely.
And so that was just an exciting thing to hear. Again, another cherry on top. Then we go have lunch with their family, the campus pastors, and just, another, just 3.5 hours of just like, God, just like, this is it. So we're driving home, again, all that happens. And then we go through another, like, that was the 19th. And then we go through the end of January. Everything's really exciting. They basically, from there on, I think it was like that, it was the day it snowed. So it was like that Tuesday. So we went and visited on a Sunday. That Tuesday, I get a call from the main worship pastor at Highlands. His name's CJ Blunt. And he calls me, and he was like, hey, man, I just wanted to get a chance to talk to you. I haven't really got a chance to talk to you yet. And he was like, I'm kind of the final decision maker on this process. He's like, I just wanted to get a chance to talk to you. And it was just such a good conversation. Like, he's such a cool guy. And he just told me, like, we got to talk for maybe like 30 minutes. And he was just like, man, well, we're so excited to have you on this team. We're so excited to have you a part of the staff. And like, I just wanted to get a chance to talk to you, and looking forward to meeting you and everything like that. It was really, really cool. And then right after that, the campus pastor calls me. He's like, hey, I know you just got off the phone with Pastor CJ. And he's like, and I just want to tell you, I know this isn't the official job offer, but I just want to call you personally and tell you, like, we're really excited to have you. And we can't wait to have you up here. And he was like, I had to hold it back, when you were up here, but we've been really excited to have you.
And affirmation is such a blessing from God, yeah, sometimes, yes, to know that it's like, and you don't mean that from a point of pride or arrogance or like, look at me, but sometimes when you step out and you're still a little bit unsure,
yeah,
but you know, in our last episode, one of the defining qualities of the disciples was not their skill, was not their talent.
Yeah.
It was their willingness to say yes. It was, yeah. Jesus, yes, I don't know that I'm the most qualified to do what you're asking me to do as your disciple, yeah. but I'm willing to do it.
Yeah.
And then the affirmation that comes after you being willing to first. And it's, yeah. you know, I'm hearing that all through your story. It's like, I don't understand it. I don't know it. I would love to do it. But all in all, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing, wherever it is, I'm willing to do this thing. And so that affirmation, I think, is where God kind of blesses us with at the end. It's yeah. like, thank you for your willingness to do what I've asked you to do. So let yeah. me give you a bit of this affirmation on the backside so you fully understand it. And boy, mm-hmm. what an amazing story.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot more to unpack from that. And, yeah. and that kind of brings us all the way to where you're sitting with us today.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to hear what comes. You've been a tremendous blessing to our church here in our local area. And, you know, God's not done. You know, he's never yeah. done. But your willingness to serve presently and then your willingness to serve externally now and grow his kingdom yeah. is just something that we can't deny that he's got his hand in.
Yeah.
And I think that this is something that's timely, and it's a story that has a lot of depth and detail, but it's a story that the guys that are going to listen to this, there's going to be plenty of men that sit out there on that teeter totter of, God, I don't know which way to go.
Yeah.
Is this for me? Is this not for me? And this is really going to round out some amazing prayer processes, some amazing disciplines that kind of you put through it. And there's a lot of just God in the center of that story. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for, you know,
yeah.
is I find my, not I, the proverbial I, you know, the collective we, if you will, success is measured not by the fruit necessarily. Success is measured in the seeds that we sow.
Yeah.
And the willingness to do so. And,
yeah.
and it sounds like you're about to fill your bag with a bunch of seeds in a whole new field.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to sow those. So. Yeah.
Well, and it's such a good feeling to like after everything my family's walked through, like even my parents, they're so excited about this. They're so like, they have just been like during 21 days of prayer, my dad like constantly was like praying. Like he'd come up to me during 21 days and be like, hey, how are you feeling about all this? Like, I'm feeling good. You had a little bit of doubt here. And like, I would kind of open up to him about like what I was feeling in that moment. He was like, well, let me pray against that. Let me pray for you and let me pray some peace over you. And that was comforting as my dad. And then my mom, you know, she would constantly, so Grant, have you heard anything back? How's it all coming? And I'm just like, oh, it's going good. And, you know, in a time where I would almost be nervous that because of my parents, they would be like, not that my parents have always been, you know, good in this way, but they weren't like, oh, Grant, we're so sad you're leaving. Like they never made me feel like I was making the wrong decision at all. Like they were so supportive of me. And, but yeah, like this has been, the whole process has just been one big long story that God has been, you know, teaching me. And it's been great. I've really, really been happy with just the lessons I've learned and the way that God's spoken to me, his faithfulness, his ability to take things that happened years ago and to still make them valid today and be such a big part of my story. And so yeah, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I can sit here today and say that yeah, I'm not on the tail end of anything. I'm God's about to start something brand new.
Well, so that is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time to really develop God's story in your life and to share some very new and some fresh things that you know, some people are going to get to hear for the first time. But it really, really builds context for how God's going forward. I'd like to close us in prayer this episode and just kind of pray for some of these things in some other people's lives and just bless some people over that.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, God, we're so grateful and we're thankful for the plans that you know already in our lives. God, we're so thankful for the parts and the pieces, God, that you bless and you bring to us, God. We're so thankful for men that are willing to stand up and listen to the call. We're so thankful for the fact that you protect us when we step out, God, that you make that bridge to the next thing for us, God, and that when we're willing to submit to your plans for us, God, that you're You're there to take us and guide us through that process. God, we're thankful for Grant being here with us today and the true ministry that you've placed in him and the lives that are touched daily, God, and those that are about to be touched through your spirit that's through him, God. But Lord, we pray over those other men or even women that are listening to this, God, that are at a point of decision, that are at a point of crossroads of where is God in this story? Where is your healing and your spirit? Where is your confirmation? Where are the things that you have for me, God? I pray, Lord, that your power and your strength be over those decision points, God, that you would bring confidence, that you would bring affirmation, that you would bring answers, that you would bring just absolute certainty and clarity to each and every one of those things, God, that for those that are at points of trying to listen to your word and listen to your voice, God, that you would speak clear and loud and boldly in that, God, and that they would be there to hear the call and listen to the call, God, and that they would be there to just find the way to your plan, God, and find the way to the things that you're speaking them into, Lord, and the life that you have for them, that they would be willing to submit to your ways and your will, God. Thank you so much for a platform to be able to do this from, God, and the visions that you continue to give us to aggressively walk forward for your kingdom, God. There's so much change that you have out on the horizon, God. There's so much blessing and beauty that you have for this world that we live in, God, that you are truly dealing with the mankind right now, that I feel that your revival is here and that there's change about to be on the horizon in so many ways, God. We thank you for this special time and these moments, and we pray all this in your heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Grant, it's been a pleasure. I thank you for getting personal, getting down in the bottom with us, and absolutely just giving us a few moments to hear your story.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Well, until the next time, guys, we thank you for listening. We appreciate you hanging in for this one with us and Grant for being here with us. This is The Ordinary Man. This place that we get to just talk about God dealing with us on levels and places that each one of us lives. So thank you for being with us, and until the next one.